Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Brethren, the gospel is enough. Because, brethren, the gospel is the only thing that brings forgiveness. The gospel is the only thing that brings true peace. The gospel is the only thing that brings true joy.
In today's edition of Triumphal Feast, we continue with the account of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Today's message begins with a declaration of a powerful angelic message and the shepherds' eager response to go and see their Savior and to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Some folks will say, well, salvation, that's just a simple decision on your part. Brethren, if the Lord only sends that number to sing, from what I can record, only three times, and one of them is the creation of the universe, then you can't tell me salvation is a small thing or an easy decision for a person to make. Brethren, it takes the full power and glory of God. And that's what's being celebrated, because they didn't say, all right, shepherds, we're begging you, we're begging you. 100 million angels begging somebody? I don't think so. Okay? As a matter of fact, I don't think I can remember a single account where an angel is described as begging anybody anything. They're soldiers. They're sent to protect us at times. They're sent to do the Lord's will all of the time. And many times, that's battle. I wish our American military would take on this practice. The Russian military has done it. I don't like them so much because they're Russians. But when they sing, whoa. But can you imagine the sound of 100 million voices that are not tainted with sin? Got that? These are voices of the elect angels of God. They don't get tired. They don't need water to lubricate their cords. They're singing in purity. Glory to God in the highest. The first strain of the gospel message from this group is glory to God. Not, oh, I'm so thankful you did something, shepherds, or I'm so thankful that the preacher did something. It's glory to God is where it starts and where it should end. And then they say, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This is not a wish. You know, many times on television and radio or advertisements or public speakers that are pleading for something, they will feign a biblical knowledge or a Christian ethic in their lives and will say, Jesus came so that peace could come. And we're just continuing that wish. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I'm no English major, but brethren, that's not a hope, that's a declaration. Meaning this is something that has already happened, and we sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You know what a herald is? It's somebody that's announcing something. They weren't announcing a hope. They were announcing the glory of God, because peace himself came down to earth. In Isaiah chapter 9, he is described as the Prince of Peace. Several chapters over in Isaiah chapter 53, He is called, it's put this way, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's the reason he is the Prince of Peace. Because he is peace itself, and he made peace between God and his people. Didn't change God, did everything for us. In the last part of their song, goodwill toward men. I could take this glass and I could move it toward Gerald for him to take it. That Greek word exists in the New Testament, and it's not this one. It's not an offering of a hand toward something. What he is saying is, the goodwill of God began in God, and now God has placed it here. Didn't offer it to the earth, didn't offer it to the men. He moved his goodwill toward the earth, and it is now there. It's something that God did. It's more the definition of the car moved toward the parking lot. It's all in God and the things that he has done. He receives all of the glory. Now, coming up on verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away. Let me ask you a question. Considering what has just happened, considering the fact that if let's say that there were six shepherds out there in that field. There were probably two of them awake and four of them asleep because they had three or four watches during the night. That's probably about what it was. They're just biding their time. I mean, just waiting for the time for them to take them into town and make a little money off of them. And suddenly this angel appears in them and they're afraid. All of the shepherds are awake now. And the shepherds have this message from God. And then it is celebrated by 100 million angels. And the angels suddenly go away just as fast as they appear. What would you be talking about? Anybody ever been to a laser light show? Did you go away talking about what the narrator said? Anybody ever been to a football game? Oh, yeah. We're all familiar with that one. This is Texas. Did you ever walk away talking about what the stadium announcer said during the game? No. You went away talking about what you saw. But what did these angels do? Now, this is better than any football game, better than any laser light show, better than any show that man could put on. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste. It wasn't the show. They wanted to see what the angel told them about. They left this giant show of angels to go to a barn. They weren't concerned about what it looked like. They wanted to see their Savior. They wanted to see that the Redeemer had come to earth. I thank the Lord for this one too, because I didn't see this before, but this is really good. Okay? The shepherds understood this message. And when the angel said that is born this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, I think the shepherds understood they're the first ones to hear about it. He had just been born. But they weren't getting excited that they were the first ones to hear it. It wasn't the manner in which they saw it. It wasn't the fact that they were the first ones to hear it, that nobody had gotten to hear it yet, so they had something that nobody else had. Brethren, it all boiled down to the Savior is here. It was the message, not the manner in which it was delivered or what they were going to do. the news of their salvation was so wonderful to them that they with haste, they took off going. As I said, I've never herded sheep before. But the picture that I've got is they weren't real concerned about their sheep at that point. Because I imagine waking up that many sheep and getting them moving would have not been making haste. So any picture that we have of the shepherds showing up there in that barn, if there's sheep with them, it's because, hey, where'd they go? And they took off and followed them. It wasn't because the shepherds rounded them up. They were going to see the true shepherd. They weren't concerned so much about their livelihood anymore. There's a kind of lesson in that for us, isn't there? Well, I'll go to church as soon as I take care of my business. You'll never get done with your business with that attitude. And you'll never see the glory of God that these angels, that these shepherds got to see. The news of their salvation was so good to them that they could not wait. How is it with you? Do we have that kind of eagerness in our lives to go and hear that message once again that Jesus came to earth to die for me? Or is it just something else I do during the week? I think it should come first in our lives to the same extent that it did with the shepherds. That even though they had seen this glorious thing and they had a big responsibility of a flock of sheep out there, they with haste. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They went immediately. It's kind of like Zacchaeus when he was up in the tree. The Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have dinner in your house. And Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, I got to go clean it first. No, he immediately came down the tree. Our response should be immediate as well. And when they had seen it, when they had seen Mary and Joseph, but mainly what they had seen, what the angel had told them, is that there was a baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes, who's lying in a manger. They knew that this was the Savior. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, what this is describing is something that the shepherds do tomorrow. Okay? It's talking about how they spent the rest of their lives doing the work of an evangelist. But notice the content of their message. Notice how they did it. When they saw this, their response was not, wow, that's kind of neat, and go home. Or maybe I'll consider that next week. Their response was, this is my Savior. And they went and told everybody about the crowd of angels that they saw. You know what? There's never a mention of the presence of angels in any of these accounts. It happened to them. But what did they go and tell? They did say this. They said, the angel told us that we were going to find the Savior, and we found the Savior. And it was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. They didn't talk about the huge show. The glory of the gospel of grace is that simple message that he came to save me from my sins. And brethren, the gospel is sufficient enough for those who truly need it. If a person needs a show, they might need the gospel, but they don't feel the need for the gospel. If a person needs to be entertained at church by the pastor or a rock band or a giant choir, brethren, they may need a Savior, but they don't see how much they need it. Because those things, if they were to be included, I think the shepherds would have included them. But the fact that God sent the biggest celebration that happens on earth, and the angels make cursory mention of it. If they even mentioned the 100 million angels, it is not the show. It is, honestly, I ought to the best of my ability, deliver the gospel message as clear as I am able. And it is my job to study to be able to do that. But brethren, the gospel message is not how I deliver it. I need to make sure, what I'm doing when I study is making sure I can get myself out of the way and get the message across to you. Because the message is simple. Born to you on this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel is sufficient for those who need it. And look at the response of the people. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What things had they told him? Look in the previous verse. They made known that which was told them concerning the child. People were wondering not at the fact that 100 million angels had appeared, but that the fact that the Savior was here. And he was born of a poor family, which they would have known that's what that meant, that they found him in a manger. They wondered at that. They knew that it could possibly be true because the scripture said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And this is happening in Bethlehem. Throughout Jesus' ministry, they're going to wonder at his words. The world is always going to wonder or mock. But brethren, as I said to you before, it is the message that we should be focusing on. It's not the television personality. It's not how well he's dressed. I know I forgot my tie this morning. I didn't forget it. I was running out of time. As slow as everything was going this morning, I knew that'd make us even more late. It's not those things. It is what's being told. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We've heard that before, haven't we? That Mary didn't say anything. She just saw what was going on. She listened to what was going on. And she pondered them in her heart. Luke could have just easily recorded that Mary remained silent. She did. But that's not all she was doing. She wasn't just not saying anything. She was listening to what the shepherd said about her son and comparing it to what Elizabeth said about her son, and comparing that to what Gabriel said about her son. Now, we don't know if that first angel that appeared was Gabriel. I think there's a pretty good chance it was, but it doesn't matter. That angel had the same message that Gabriel had, the same message that Elizabeth sang in prophecy. That same message was going on, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. First question, well, why didn't she speak out? She had a great testimony. Yes, she did. But Mary knew that it wasn't about her. She knew the truth of all of these things would come out at the right time. I think she was full of extreme joy, the mega joy that the shepherds had, I think she already had. Because she reacted the same way. When Gabriel went away, what did she do? With haste, went to go see Elizabeth to learn more, to understand more. But she didn't think it necessary to draw attention to herself by saying, I've got a testimony that I've got to speak. I'm not against testimony. But brethren, if we do it because people like to see us, or we like people seeing us, we're wrong. No matter how true the testimony is. Because I guarantee you this, your testimony is awesome, but it ain't this awesome. And Mary pondered it in her heart. There's a right time to speak. And when it's time to speak, do it. But recognize that when glory is going to God, what's the best thing that I can do as a preacher or you can do? When the glory's all going to God, brethren, the best thing we do is just step out of the way and point. Say, look. Look at what God has done. Look at what He is doing. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. That's not what it says. It says they glorified and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Remember I told you that was the key to the whole thing? They weren't glorifying and praising God for the angel host of heaven coming down. They were glorifying and praising God for what they saw over there in the manger, because that's what was told to them. They weren't told, hey, there's going to be 100 million angels come down here to the Colosseum, spend $25 for your ticket and hear the gospel preached. They weren't doing that. They were praising God and glorifying God because the angel said, you're going to see the Savior over here. And they went over there, and what did they see? They saw the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Brethren, the gospel is enough. Because, brethren, the gospel is the only thing that brings forgiveness. The gospel is the only thing that brings true peace. The gospel is the only thing that brings true joy. We can distract ourselves with entertainment, even if it's got good Christian content in it. Those things are temporary. But that's what's so disturbing to me about the pattern today. Is that if you were to look at the average Christian worship service that's on television, it's actually imitated in many, many churches. The time of the preaching is normally only about 10 to 20 minutes. The folks are there for an hour to hour and a half, and there's 10 minutes of gospel. It doesn't matter what happens during the rest of that time, brethren, because what I'm telling you, it's not what the shepherds did. It's not the proclaiming of the simplicity and glory of the gospel. The heart of our worship services are not to listen to me. The heart of our gospel, of our worship services are to be the preaching of the gospel. I wonder today how many folks could actually sit and listen to Elder Spurgeon preach. You ever read one of his sermons? First of all, you better have a dictionary there. Okay, our English has gotten so dumbed down here in America that we wouldn't understand half of what he said. And every single one of them that I've read has taken me an hour and a half to read out loud. Not pausing for the amens that no doubt the congregation gave. Not pausing to get a drink of water. He preached for an hour and a half. Wow, man, his congregation must have got tiny. No, he preached about 10,000 at a time. What's the difference? For those folks, the gospel was sufficient. They didn't want all of the other stuff. For those folks, the gospel was sufficient to get rid of fear. And so they left their jobs. Didn't go to them on Sunday. For those folks, the gospel message was sufficient that they didn't allow anything to get in their way. Because I don't know how big the Metropolitan Tabernacle was, but if you got 10,000 folks showing up and you're late, you're sitting outside. And they didn't have the ability to make a DVD of it or have me post it as a podcast and you catch it later. What I want to see in our lives, if it happens in America, I'm going to glory in the power of God. But what I want to see happen in our lives, this is how I pray for our nation. I pray for us, the folks right inside these walls, that we get that eagerness, that we with haste go to hear the gospel message, that we with all joy marvel in the simplicity, but purity and wonder of the gospel of the grace of God that's in Jesus Christ.
Victorious God, what can
thank you for being with us today. I hope this message has been a blessing to you. If you would like to study the Word of God more fully or hear some more gospel sermons, you can find resources at two websites, bhpbc.org and my new personal website at lowranceministries.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.